Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here.
Yes.
It's time to check in with Steve Stone, Chicago White Sox broadcaster. Steve Stone on Baseball, brought to you by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Steve.
Try Wildfire, by the way, because it's halibut season, my favorite fish, so go and have it. It's delightful.
They have a good prime rib, too.
I like the best soup. I actually had that last night.
Super great ribs, actually. Really? I think the ribs are the best thing at Wildfire.
They even have those three excellent little medallions.
Yeah. Have you ever, every time we have you on, we just have to
seize getting hungry
on your sponsorship because every restaurant you bring up is a good one.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I like that.
I haven't been there in a while. I got to get back there.
And we're a going out kind of show. Oh. So,
they also have wine flights.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
Yeah. We're not a cooking at home kind of show as much as we should be. All right.
It shows too.
Kind of fun times in Boston for the White Sox, right?
It was actually a very good road trip. And if you look at the last three series, it was 2 or 3 from Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a pretty good baseball team as the Cubs are finding out. I mean, they lead the division by just a scant half game, but when we played them, they had the best record in the National League. Still do, as a matter of fact. And then it was a split in Minnesota and then on to Boston, where the Red Sox had the most wins in all of baseball and really dominated at home. They were 23-10 heading into yesterday. But the Sox taking 2 of 3. It was a well-played series. It was a well-pitched series. And when you look at the offensive numbers of the Red Sox, I know Mookie Betts was out of the lineup, but J.D. Martinez came back after the first game, and he was certainly a huge factor. He's leading the major leagues in home runs and runs batted in. And so taking 2 of 3 in their ballpark is quite an accomplishment. Most teams don't go in there and come away with a serious win, but our Sox did. And it was a good series. The bullpen was outstanding, and if that gets better, along with the starting rotation, getting Rodon back and starting to throw the ball well, I think there's some light at the end of the tunnel. The boys are starting to play pretty well.
It's kind of cool Friday, Steve, to see Yoan Moncada face Chris Sale. Those two were the centerpieces around that major trade that really kind of moved the White Sox along into a rebuild or whatever you want to call it. I guess just what's it like seeing Sale face the former team? And Dylan Covey practically outpitched him on Friday. Maybe he's a guy that could surprise and maybe wasn't on the radar for a lot of us, but he's been pitching very well this season so far.
Well, credit the Sox scouts in the front office with the original Dylan Covey move, which was as a Rule 5 player from Oakland. He was a guy who was a number one draft pick, a diabetic, and then they didn't sign him, and then he went to Oakland, and the Sox really liked his arm. But when he came over here in that 1 year that he was here, and you have to keep him or offer him back, and the Sox didn't want to offer him back, they felt that there was something there. And coming back from the minor leagues this year, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but he's throwing it harder. He's getting up to 95. He hit 96 in that start. But the most impressive thing about him is the movement, both the sink and the fact that it runs into right-handers. He got explosive movement on the ball, and he not kind of outpitched Sale. He actually did because he got the W, Sale got the L, and he gave up no runs. Chris gave up one. But it was quite a performance, and I think he is making himself a factor in the starting rotation moving forward. Right now, I think everybody likes his stuff and likes what they see. It's radically different from when we saw him a couple of years ago. And that matchup of Sale against Moncada, look, Sale is one of baseball's best. Moncada is just starting out. He just turned 23. And Sale really dominated him. He had a good night. But Moncada in that game, although he didn't get a hit, he did really have one of the key at-bats of the game, hitting the ball inside out to the right side to move along Tim Anderson, who later scored the only run of the ball game. So that particular at-bat was a good one, and it helped the team win. It was one of those things that you have to do if you're going to play winning baseball. Now, Moncada obviously was overmatched in that series. And I think with the article in the paper today, they were talking about Abreu telling him, get more aggressive early in the count. Don't take so many pitches because then you're susceptible to the wipeout pitch. And so he was swinging early in the count in Boston the final game, and hopefully that holds him in good stead. If he gets more aggressive, and I think you see it a lot from Jose Abreu, who ambushes a lot of pitchers on the first pitch.
Tim Anderson had a pretty good game yesterday, too, both in the field and at bat, right? Or on the base path, I should say. Because it was heads up thinking by him. And he's just fun. He's a great athlete, and he always reminds me when I was a kid of watching Ivan De Jesus. The guy who's just, or Manny Trio. These guys are just incredibly fast, incredibly athletic, And even though they're, you know, they're kind of outliers a little bit on the team, you know, you still had Larry Bittner on that team, and that, I wasn't quite sure what Larry Bittner was doing. But Dave Kingman wasn't actually fleet of foot, but you'd see those guys, you know, young athletes on, you know, in the infield are just so much fun to watch. And so it's going to be, I got a very good feeling watching, you know, the White Sox over this last, as you said, this whole trip, really, you know, I think they're having some fun, and that's an important thing. If they're having fun, then the fans are going to have fun.
Yeah, and look, the Sox are not a team that's going to hit a lot of balls out of the ballpark. Davidson is just coming back. He's got 11 home runs tied for the team lead with, of all people, Tim Anderson. But Anderson has stolen 13 of 14 bases this year. So you're talking about a team that's been aggressive under Ricky Renteria. He's got everybody running. Sox have stolen 53 bases, only been caught 11 times. So not only do they lead the American League, and I think they lead all of baseball in stolen bases, but they get thrown out very infrequently. So they're running, and they're running well. And an aggressive team is an exciting team. And I'm not going to tell you that this is baseball's most exciting team, because that's reserved for teams that pound the ball out of the ballpark. But the Sox are trying to do it the only way that they can, and that is trying to manufacture some runs with their speed. Right now, until they get some bangers, and I think we haven't seen this team hitting a lot of home runs recently. I think that they probably will as they get a bit older and a bit more experienced and some of the younger guys come up. But right now, this is a team trying to take advantage of everything it has, and it has speed up and down the order. And when Adam Engel comes back, it gives us another speed guy, and hopefully he's going to play this evening. He's had a hamstring issue, but he's 8 of 10 in stolen bases. Leury Garcia's on the shelf, and Leury was 9 of 9 in stolen bases. So, again, the team is trying to use what they have, and right now they're speed up and down the lineup, and that's what they're using. That's what I was trying to win some games. And,
yeah,
you know, look, nobody's happy with the way it's gone, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, well, let's say, as a sporting weekend in Chicago, you had the North Side 2 out of 3, the South Side 2 out of 3. You had a Triple Crown winner. Right, for people watching, yeah. That was an amazing performance by that horse, and I would just like to remind everybody that Ron Major said the horse wasn't going to win the race, and I did say the horse was going to win.
Yes,
the race.
That's true.
I would
true.
Like some credit for that at mm-hmm. this very moment, and a couple of Chicago kids sweep the Tonys. I mean, I know that's not sports, but my God, that's exciting anyway.
Yes, it certainly is.
Well, years ago, I got to meet Laurie Metcalf, and she's really a wonderful woman. And I congratulate her on her second Tony and the nomination for the Academy Award. She's really a nice person, and hopefully, good things keep coming to her. And I know anytime anybody who has any connection to Chicago wins anything, it's a really glorious day here. And you're right about the Triple Crown, by the way. Justified through the inside post, and when you have in that race the inside post, a lot of times you can get swamped early. He managed not to and ran a whale of a race and showed that he's a super horse. You know,
so
just there's a line of super horses.
For sure. There's a picture that at the end of the race where every horse is just dirty as hell. It's a mile and a half, right? And the Belmont dirt is very sandy and very fine. And so it's a little more of a slog to run in, even when it's a fast track at Belmont. And so these horses are just filled with this fine dust. Every horse, you couldn't tell the color of the horse. They were all gray from the track, except for Justify, that beautiful chestnut colt with that big white blaze on his nose. And it totally clean, because no horse ever got in front of him.
It's strange. You showed me that picture, and it almost looked as if there was a filter put over the rest of the horses in the field, because it stood out that much in terms of how crisp and clean he was.
Yeah, what a great, and you know, and you got to give it, you know, you got to give it to the jockey who's 52 years old.
Jeez.
Right? I mean, that's, you know, at the end of his career, you know, finally being able to get a Triple Crown. And just, it's one of those stories in racing. And they're going to race him, it appears, at least one more time, probably two more times, before they put him out to stud. And if he goes in undefeated as a stud, he is going to make those owners, China Horse Club and Winstar, are going to be very, very happy folks.
Well, they syndicated him for $75 million and got the $15 million bonus. It was 60 and 75, he won the Triple Crown. So he got the $15 million bonus, and you can understand where there would be a lot of people very interested in the breeding. But, you know, what we don't know is how good the breeding rights are going to be. For instance, Secretariat was not good was not as good as Aladar. Aladar couldn't beat Affirmed, and yet Aladar as a stud was.
Yeah.
Was
that's
was
true.
The best in racing.
But for the first 3 years, they're doing it on reputation alone before the stock actually gets out on the track. And this, and you know, right now American Pharoah is going for $100,000 a throw, and he's going to about 125, 150 mares per year. So you do the math there, and then you're going to probably have the same number of bookings, maybe 150 bookings for Justify. And if Justify goes in undefeated, we'll probably go for $150,000.
So how much would that horse make as a stud post racing?
So it would be, let's do the math here. Mm-hmm. Let's do 150 times 150.
Gee.
And then it's a big number.
It's a lot of cheddar.
Yeah, it's a lot of cheddar. So you're talking about $17 million a year.
$22,500.
So $22 million in the first year. For the first three years, would be $66 million essentially.
You go eat at Wildfire every day if you're making that much dough.
Yeah, think about that at Wildfire. Next, you know what? Wildfire,
order whatever you want.
Get the steak. You can afford it. It's good. All right, Steve, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
It takes 3 years to wipe a smile off the horse's face. So, you know, it's pretty nice.
Oh, don't worry. The smile never wipes off their face.
He's got a happy life ahead of him.
Oh.
He does.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's sickening.
Life is good.
I know. That's. I just want to come back as that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something.
It's a dream.
All right, thank you very much, Steve. Appreciate it.
Show.
All right,
okay.
Steve Stone.
Bye.
That's going to be the deal.
What happens to the jockey now? Does the jockey retire at
Mike
some
Smith.
Point?
He's
52.
Will soon. Mike Smith. He will probably, he may run, he'll run the next two races if there are two.
Well, that doesn't seem fair. After riding a horse, now he has to run.
The,
It's like Kim Jong-un's bodyguards.
Yeah, Boris, no matter how bad her joke is, Boris always, you know, has to punch it up.
He doesn't even know it's a joke,
right.
Apparently, just like you guys.
Yeah. Anyway, let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the top of the hour?